Brady, Knudsen, that hadn't been back here for some 40 years, and I'm taking him out to see some Tony Anderson's Hard Rock Mine out here, Little Bell Mill outfit, and Mr. Knudsen told me he'd been here in the early days very close to that prospecting, so on this trip I'm going to let the recorder run and get a few comments. Now, you give me your full name on here first.
Well, the full name is Brady Knudsen.
And where were you born, Brady?
Norway.
Remember the town?
Yes, Kristiansand, the southern tip of Norway. And I left there in 1913 when I was 14 years old and came to Fairbanks, where my mother and stepfather were mining. Hard rock, free gold, quartz, and the Peter Dome area. You, it's not running unless you're reaching.
Well, we just had a little bite to eat here at the TikTok Drive-In. And we're on our way out now, about 3 miles out on the Steese Highway, going out to the Leidengood Road and out to Tory Anderson's mine. And you were talking to me about Mr. Zimmerman here. You go ahead and tell what you said on the tape about Mr. Zimmerman.
I don't remember Mrs. Zimmerman's name. I did not know her very well, but I did know Zimmerman, who together with Andrew Nelson of Wolf Creek and Tom King of Golden started the first hydraulic mining operation in the area, and Peter Creek close to where Twin Creek enters Pedro Creek. Is that thing rumbling?
Yeah, it's running all the time. It'll run for 30 minutes on her side.
Well, I mean,
it's on all the time, yeah. Anytime you're talking, it's going on there now.
This thing that I'm saying now would be on the...
On the tape, everything you Well, you told
I'll
me
go,
about...
I'll go in front.
Yeah, I'll cut it off if you're going to stop. Everything
we say goes on. Okay. Wait a minute now. I'll get a little logical, you know. I told you that I had come from Norway and went to and came to Fairbanks 1913, where my mother and stepfather were mining. And then I'll go on and say what I have been doing here for the next a few years in Alaska and how I come back here to Cuba.
Oh, okay.
Then I'll come back and give you a line on Omagog.
Okay.
Would that be logical?
That's the order.
Yeah. All right.
Yes, I
voice go. Yes.
Yeah, I turned it on.
We mined in the Pedro area for 5 years until First World War. When I left Fairbanks, went over to the Kennecott Copper Mines, where I worked off and on for a number of years, going to the States and back to Alaska. I remained in the States a number of years, and later on, in the 50s, went to the Quicksilver area on the Kuskokwim, working at the Red Devil Mine, the Corsair Mining Company. I went back to the States, worked some years for Bear Creek Mining Company, with the exploration department of the Kennecott Copper. They asked me this year, 1962, in May, to go on the Kobuk River project, where they have large copper deposit that on which diamond drilling work is being done. This year they employed about 60 men for diamond drilling, geological work, and building camps. I was very much satisfied to take the work because it brought me back to Fairbanks after an absence from Fairbanks for 44 years. Mr. Harry Hughes, Mrs. Eva McGowan very kindly have brought a number of old-timers in contact with me, and they are showing me around on the creeks. And we are looking over some of the places where I worked over 40 years ago. Coming back to the 1930 period when I came to Alaska, my stepfather, Dr. Overgaard, was one of the old-timers, first man into Fairbanks, Circle City. He built the first hospital in Fairbanks and did some mining, plaza mining, hard rock mining. When I first came to this country, he told me a story of having gone up through the Caribou country, British Columbia, and down the Yukon River, and settled at Circle, where he had the first drugstore. A friend of his, Dan Callahan, whom he had met in the British Columbia country, and who in the early days of Fairbanks was councilman and state legislature. Pardon me, the territorial legislature told me the story of Dan Callahan's little girl in the wilderness of the Yukon at the age of 12 years old, just before the turn of the century, of being bedridden with rheumatic fever, which had deteriorated her ankles, knees, and she had a mastoid infection. My stepfather and while there performed an operation on her. The only tools he had was a carpenter chisel, which he sharpened to do the job. And this girl on whom he operated was Helen Callahan, whom I never met until yesterday. So I heard about her 50 years ago. Mrs. McGowan, in asking me of some of the old timers I remembered, I mentioned Don Callahan, and he said, you must go see Helen. She called Helen and told her that Overgaard's stepson was here and wanted to see her. I went down to see Helen Callahan. The first thing she said to me, you're not Dr. Overgaard. I said, no, I am the stepson. She said, you know, when I was 12 years old, I was bedridden. I was about to die. Dr. Overgaard operated on my mastoid. I was in bed for 3 months. And do you know I grew 2 inches in the 3 months I was in bed? No, he said, I am 74 years old.
Today.
That's it.
Well, you want to, that's the finish of that story.
Oh.
You mentioned about the Bear Mining Company, Bear Creek Mining Company, is that what they call it, or Bear Mining?
Bear Creek Mining Company.
They have operations over in the Yukon area yet today. Don't think? They mined there in the early days, too.
No, that's a different...
Different Bear Creek outfit.
This is a geology department or exploration department of the chemical company. They have no mining operations, actually.
No?
Whenever they have finished their exploratory work, is either turned down or accepted by Kennecott.
Oh, I see.
And Kennecott mines it. It is Engineer Creek, huh?
Now I'll
close
tell you,
to it.
This pile of rocks, you see, they worked 3 years with that dredge in this one spot. And I walked over there. That ore all carries free gold right in this rock over here. This is all workable with a mill. That's the reason I asked Troy if there was other metals could be worked through that same process. SE is still holding, the Fairbanks Exploration Company is still holding all this ground. And there is the dredge sitting over on this side of the road.
This
rock, you see, this white quartz rock over here, I don't know how far it runs under the hills over there. But if they'd worked 3 years in a little spot like that with this dredge over here, it must be exceedingly rich. And that rock has never been milled or broken up enough to retrieve the gold that could be in it.
Do you know of any tests? You know of any tests having been made, sampling of the rock?
Only just what we walked around here. You can't high-grade off of mining company's property without their consent. So they are kind of secretive about their reports over there. You don't get anything out of them. But the float that we picked up around here has every indication. And, of course, this road right here we're driving on is made on the old tailing piles here. It's one of the best roadbeds in Alaska. And some of this still carries considerable gold. There's several other veins or seams of quartz and mineralized rocks crossing this canyon up here where they worked in the early days. We could watch the tailings from the dredges they worked whenever they'd hit these seams and veins. They even had hand pickers on the dredge fellas stand alongside of the overburden conveyor and pick out nuggets or quartz rocks containing gold. They were picking up high grade that was going in the tailings. I know that for a fact. I was here.
They did cut gold-bearing veins in their placer operations?
Yes, all through here, clear up this canyon. This about 12 or 14 mile area here. They've cut several seams in here. In fact, the prospect holes on each side of this canyon indicate that the seams run across this valley. See, there's the holes on both sides of this canyon. That's an asbestos outcropping you see right there. See?
I see. Mm-hmm. Well, this is Engineer Creek?
Yes, back there was. That's Engineer Creek. And on up here another couple of miles is Fox or Fox Gulch. Used to be quite a town here one time, and the little Chattanooga Chena Railroad used to run up here. And there's a spring here about a quarter mile off the road where the railroad train used to stop and take water. Do you remember any of this when you traveled around here?
Oh, yes, I remember traveling on the Chattanooga Valley Railroad. Fox was quite a considerable of a town. And at Engineer, there were quite a few operations. I remember the Williams, Mr. and Mrs. Williams, and Jack Dunn, particularly.
Do you remember from where we're at right at this moment at Fox, or Fox Gulch, as it was known at, just where Golden is located from here?
Golden is located, as I recall, from Fox to Gilmore was 3 miles. From Gilmore to Golden was about 4 miles.
That'd be about 7 miles from here.
7 miles from here. Yes, perhaps perhaps a mile or two farther.
And on the present day highway here, this is mile 11 from the city of Fairbanks.
Mile 11.
That's mile 11.
That's just.
Now we're going to turn off of the Steese Highway onto the Lightinggood Road. We're turning off now. It's a gravel road that was pavement up to this point. And we're going up on the Lightinggood Road towards Murphy Dome Cutoff. And we're about 100 yards past there. We'll turn into Tory Anderson's mine and prospect.
This road, of course, I do not recognize.
Well, the road didn't run right where we're driving right now. It ran along the foot of the hill over there. It was a little goat trail, like a man with a dog team with back.
Yeah, well, we used to follow the road from Fairbanks to Fox.
Mm-hmm. That's Fox.
And unless we drove a car, we took the railroad track from the Tanana Valley Railroad track from Fox to Gilmore, because it was a perfectly straight away. You could see from one end to the other, and thus save some distance.
And this vibration and background noise you hear is this rough gravel road. It has rained up here a few days ago and washed a lot of holes in the road. It makes it kind of rough traveling. Now this barn we're coming to up here is the location of the old spring that's been here so many years. It probably existed when you come in here, didn't it, Brady?
Is this the old grade of the Tanana Valley?
Yes. They still water from this.
There was a water tower here where we used to take on water for the locomotive.
I don't know exactly where the track was laid here. But it's very close to where we're at someplace in here.
It is a whole lot more brushy now than it was in those days.
Well, the fellas cut brush and was trying to work these canyons in those years. Now that cabin up there, that old timer disappeared early last winter, took his gun and took off, and we, the pioneers and the state police, were out looking for him. And here a few days ago, Frank Young, another old-timer, run into him on the street walking around Fairbanks. He just decided to move and didn't tell anybody.
He wasn't lost.
No? He was. You know who it was?
I don't know.
You don't remember his name? No, he didn't get lost. He just walked away because he wanted to move. But they have been breaking into his place here and tearing down stuff ever since he left.
Do you know his name?
I can't remember his name, though, you see. I talked to him. I used to come here to the door and talk to him, but I couldn't tell his name. There's a lot of them I never asked their name. You know, in the early days, you didn't ask anybody. If he told you his name, well, it was fine. If he didn't, you didn't ask him.
Well, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
There's a car backing up.
Yeah, it's 10 tomorrow. Hey.
You want to cut off your...
You stop there a minute, Frank.
You want to cut...
Stop a minute. Stop a minute. I want you to meet this man. I want you to meet this man.
What'd he say?
He's coming over. This is Frank Chapados.
Well, now, Tori and myself have just entered. We unlocked the gate at Tori Anderson's mining claims here, and we're rehooking the chain on the gate until we get ready to come back out from his mine.
And the time now is 1:58
p.m. in the afternoon of September the 6th, 1962.
Oh, this is up on the Peter Dome area. But I don't really know what the name of this area is myself. Quick when you're there.
Well, there was some placer mining over there.
Was it Italian?
I couldn't tell you. I don't remember. And Farr by name of Carson and Gus Early and some other fellows were doing some work over there, but I can't remember what they were doing. Some hard rock, but I don't know what. And then over in Dome were old Spalding.
Is this running?
Mm-hmm. On Dome Creek was the Spalding Mill, a free gold mining operation. This area where we are visiting now, Turi Anderson's property, operation, lies between, as far as I can judge, between Dome or Walt and Pedro Creek. I should say on the somewhat southerly of Pedro Dome, within a mile or two south of Pedro Dome. He has a very he has built a very simple concentrators to separate his lead ore. He has all the essentials, a minimum of equipment, but everything that is necessary.
Now this is the end of this side of this piece, so I'll turn the tape over. Side of this trip out to Torrey Anderson's mine by Mr. Knudsen and myself. Now we'll move on up the hill to the exposed ore.
Well, now we've brought Bradley
Brady
down to Harry Panik's little Eskimo mining operation first, and now we've come over here to Pete Smith's mining. Pete's raffling his hose down there, ground solution, and working to take advantage of the few days left of this season.
Now, what do you think of your so far, what you've observed?
Well, it's strange to see the way these workings extend up the small draws from Pedro Creek, which in the days when I were here weren't considered worth looking into or mining. Just where they get out of them now, I don't know. But certainly, there are a few small operations where none were in those early days. Of course, the big dredging operations might have indicated something that was not known the years before. We are going to continue up Pedro Creek to Golden, and we'll pass by the old placer diggings of Julius Guys, Charlie Guys. We'll pass Gilmore's and McPike's, Jimmy McPike's, and Wagner's with a reach now, and Bigelow's.
And then it'll be Golden, Twin Creek, whatever was up Twin Creek, or up the upper part of Peter Creek, I don't know, up along Twin Creek where Old working, so Martin Hayes, Roy Maddox, the Rainbow Mine, Scoogie Pate, Four Gods, Dick Creighton's, Garrett, Shaw's, Nolan Hill, and the into Clay Creek would be the old Moose Boy Mine. Further down, Rolston Hall. Well, we'll see when we get there.
We'll move on now to the next place.
Tell some more on it. All right.
We're approaching Golden on the junction of Peter and Twin Creek. And early days, roadhouse was there run by Mrs. Cornell and a man by the name of McKay. The Burnett family, man and his wife and several children lived there. And McDonough, the teamster. And that was about a total population of Golden, except on the point to cross from Golden, across Peter or Twin from Golden, on the point between Twin and Peter, a farm was worked there by Charlie Yeager. Mrs. Yeager ran the sourdough roadhouse on the old Richardson Road. We'll soon see what's left of Golden.
There's another mining operation right down here below us, too, on this creek here. There's about two or three in here altogether. And they all don't talk to each other like they used in the olden days. These guys here, they come in, they're new people, they never say nothing to nobody. You never know where they're at.
Do you keep it running from where?
No, I've turned off now.
Now, we're on the summit up here of the Clary Summit, it's called, and the elevation here is 2,233 feet at this point. And then there's a sign that says Chattanooga 7 miles, Chattanooga Trading Post 8 miles, Miller House 94 miles, Central 108 miles, Arctic Circle Hot Springs 116, and Circle City 143 miles. From this point, and we're 20 miles from town at this point. There's another sign over here says Fairbanks Creek Road and Fish Creek Road. And we can see a view of the mountains, and Bradley here is, Brady here rather, is getting reoriented after 44 years, get his bags. Want a guy to walk around?
The roads are just about to here to summit as they were back in 1913, 15,
about the same
49
route.
Years. The same.
Same road.
Yeah, the same directions, the same roads. They are recognizable after all these years.
Mm-hmm. We're going to walk around a minute. We're on down here at, on Scoogie Gulch in the Cease Highway, and he's. Brady's telling me about his early day experience over here when his stepfather was in here. Now, Brady, you go ahead.
Tell me what you told me about this place up ahead of Scoogie Gulch.
We were mining at Scoogie Gulch in lower, at almost just above the mouth of Scoogie Gulch, the shoulder of Pedro Dome. And farther up the creek, Dick Creighton and Lou Goyett were mining and gotten a quarrel over their mill cleanup.
Mr. Marcello $1,000 and their girlfriends. And the men come rushing down to my stepfather, Overgaard, and said, Lou Gorey shot Dick Creighton. So we lined up, and Dick Creighton had been shot in the neck, or inside under the ear, and the bullet passed by the base of his brain, the spinal cord, and general vein. And he had no trouble whatsoever recovering. However, his wife reached for a shotgun and went out after Lou Gorey. And Lou Gorey says, "Drop that gun." And she dropped and it fell inside the kitchen. And she changed her mind and she bent down for the gun in the doorway and Lou Gorey shot her. Well, it was just flesh wounds. But the poor girl had quite a time walking. Mm-hmm. They all recovered, however, and Lou Gorey sat in the hillside watching the sheriffs hunting for them. Mm-hmm. And finally he went in and said, "Well, the mosquitoes are too tough." He says, "I guess I'll give myself up."
That's the way that happened, huh?
Go ahead and talk. We moved down the road here a couple of 300 yards, and he's told me about another mine called the Rainbow Mine over here on the point of a hill alongside of Scoogie Gulch. He stepped out to side of the country here.
Okay. There were several prospects in 1913, 15, 16, 17, the Rainbow Mine, and which was worked by Silverman and Ron Maddox, and the Faulkner Bradley prospect. Mrs. Bradley was a early day physician in Fairbanks. And across the creek is Martin Harris. Did some mining, and there was an old arastra at the mouth of Scoogie Gulch. And Martin Harris renovated the arastra and ran a considerable tonnage. A rock to it, and with some gold recovery. Farther up Twin Creek, there we had a lead silver prospect from which we shipped ore. Which had a value of some $200 a ton. The Creighton property had veins as wide as 2 feet, which would run anywhere up to $400 a ton. And where we worked, we had narrow stringers that would run $100 a ton.
You were on this side?
Yeah, we were on the north side of Peter Dome. The surface has grown and covered so completely with brush now that it's hard to locate the particular spot.
Well, several years ago, there'd been a burn-off in this country. The country had been burnt off. And the number of different stories I heard on that about different people coming through and carelessness was some of it, and then there were some people who were better. And when they left the country, just set it on fire and moved out.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it, but say I see a piece of equipment laying down in the bush here just below the road.
What the hell is that? There's a drum and some other stuff.
Huh?
There's a drum in there, an oil drum and some other pieces of iron. Looks like sheet iron. Yeah, there's sheet iron down in there and old... There's some boulders down in there, too, in the brush. But that's a drum down there, an oil drum.
Excuse me, I could...
That's all right. That's all right.
There's
a dump in there. Yeah, it looks like a dump. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like a dump down in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looks like the earmarks of an old dump in here. There's some miscellaneous rubbish been thrown down the hill, though. There's several oil drums, half a dozen oil drums down there. And rocks strewn all around. But the brush has really grown up here. And on the opposite bank over there, it looks like there's been a cut made sometime or other right down close to the creek. And here's another bare spot up here on the... And there's a tree all marked out over there. Could be a marker. You see the tree all marked out?
No.
That could be a claim marker right there, couldn't it?
Yes.
Well, the time now is 4:47, and we're getting ready to... move on back towards Fairbanks. I just took a picture of a mine here, and I'll let Mr. Knutson tell what it was.
There's only the old Martin Harris workings. He worked quite high up on the hill and also right close to the bottom. And as I recall, on the upper one, he had mica schist, and I know for a fact in the lower one, he had a granite diorite, which would indicate a contact of some sort, but it's too brushy to determine that on short notice just where it might be.
Now we're going to move on down back towards town again, and the time right now is 5:02 p.m. This, we'll terminate this tape with a little information. Mr. Brady and myself drove on into Fairbanks, and we got in about 20 minutes of six. We both went and washed up and cleaned up and went down to the Model Cafe in Fairbanks and had dinner. And then we had, Mr. Brady had an appointment with Turi Anderson in an exchange of little information in regard to the hard rock prospects in this area. And I wished Mr. Brady a good trip back home to the States. And he has an operation down in the States where he is mining also, which I didn't take a great deal of details on. But Mr. Brady and Mr. Toy on the exchange of information and data in regard to the mining, and wished him a good trip home to the States at 7:15. p.m. in the evening, and this will terminate this portion of my interview with Mr. Brady Knutson, an early day Alaskan miner on a visit to Fairbanks after over 44 years. This was Harry Hughes recording for the Pioneers of Alaska Igloo 4 on this tape, and this is September the 6th, 1962 at Fairbanks, Alaska.